Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 126. If this is your first time listening, we are a married couple who looks at life through a nerdy lens. How are you doing today?
I'm good. We actually had a really fun morning.
We did have a really fun morning.
Yeah.
We took the kiddo out to a trampoline park.
We did. And I think we actually have an equally good time with the trampoline park.
If not, maybe a little more.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if we go for us.
The first time we went, I was losing it at how much fun I was having.
Like, yeah.
I was grinning ear to ear, and I had that excited kid look on my face, and I was laughing hysterically like a toddler. I was like, But yeah, she had a great time, and actually, like, I started texting all of my friends. I'm like, are you aware of how fun this is? And then comes the next morning.
Yeah, yeah. We had a
where
lot of
you're
fun.
Sore is
oh,
what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. You don't have to think about that in the moment. In the moment, just have fun. But the next morning is usually a little rough on the body.
But this weekend has been kind of jam-packed with a lot of fun, but also a lot of media as well.
Which is fun.
Well, I mean, so, which is fun. I mean, like, you know, like fun where you go outside and, you know, like, and everything like that.
Yeah.
But no, like, the media that specifically... On Netflix this weekend, a lot of great stuff has been released and a lot
That's
of stuff
right.
geared towards us.
Yes, yes, definitely. Specifically, Fincher.
Yes, a Fincher-produced right. anthology series
right.
of, I think, 18 short films, all animated.
Right.
Except for maybe one. Mm-hmm. And it was called Love, Death, and Robots.
Right, right. And then also...
The latest half of season 5 of Arrested Development.
Right, right. And Triple Frontier came out as well.
Yeah, starring Ben Affleck mm-hmm. and Oscar Isaac and
right.
a few other people.
Yeah, so a lot of things that felt like it was geared towards nerd nuptial,
it
right?
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, man, like if this was season 4's House of Cards on the same weekend, my mind would have exploded.
Well, we would just not have had time for all of that excitement.
But yeah, we were able to watch, like, because it's only like 10, 15 to 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
of, I guess, I think the longest one was 18 minutes for Love, Death, and Robots, we were able to bang that out in 2 nights. But
right.
we could have done it in one night
oh,
if
yeah.
we...
Didn't have a toddler.
If we didn't have a toddler.
Right. Exactly.
Who's going through a sleep regression right now.
Yeah, who learned how to unlatch our door.
Oh my gosh,
with
yes.
With the parent, like the toddler.
Child locks.
Child locks. She understands now how to get past them.
So not only do we have a kid who is advanced in the area of how she sleeps, because most kids her age are still in a crib.
Right. She maxed out of her crib at like 17 months.
Yeah, and so she's in a
yeah.
toddler bed, so she
right.
has free reign.
Has been since 17 months.
Yeah, she has free reign in her bedroom,
right.
and so we're just like, okay, well, we got to put a child lock on there so she doesn't get out while we're
well,
sleeping and get in
she
trouble.
Would. She's
yeah.
trouble, so she would just probably like wander the house
we
and
her
turn
to hurt
on
herself.
The TV and watch something. <That's>
she
what
knows
she would
how
do.
To turn on the TV.
She does.
And so, yeah, we had a child lock on it, and she, nope. Learn
how
to do
that.
And so now it's
yep.
absolutely nerve-wracking.
It's been fun.
It's been great.
So our time for the new media was a little strained, but we got it done.
We made it work.
We did.
We made it work. That's the most important thing.
It's so true.
Because if a wise man once said, if something is important to you, you make the time.
That's right.
And that's what we did. And also, I just want to say, you guys, the listeners, have been so fantastic. And last week, we talked about Captain Marvel. We did a review on Captain Marvel. We got more positive fan mail about Captain Marvel in that episode than any other episode at one time.
It was so kind. Like, seriously. I mean, to be honest, I was a little nervous, like, after we were done recording. I was like, oh, I was really honest, and I was really emotional, and... Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, Tristan, is that okay? Like, it just feels very, very me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just very like, okay, I'm putting myself out there. And it just was really nice to know that you guys appreciated that. And I really appreciate the positive feedback. That was really kind.
We got tons and tons of positive feedback from people, men and women.
Yeah.
And we got one really nice note. We got tons of nice notes.
I was gonna
but
say.
there was one email specifically that stuck out, and it was just talking. She was talking about how she's a person of color and about how she's a woman of color.
Yeah.
And how she didn't have it. Any kind of representation like right. this when she was growing up. And she said, just like the girl, I'm super excited that kids today
yeah.
will have that. And it's fantastic the kind of message that came across through the movie. And then a lot of people connected with how you reacted. Like so many people chimed in and said, this is one of the best episodes you've ever done.
So sweet.
And how representation matters and everything like that. So
yeah,
so girl, you threw yourself out there and it connected with the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very kind, but it was really nice that you guys reached out to us. Cause that's exactly what we want. We want to hear from you guys and to know that, hey, what we're just talk. We're not just talking to ourselves.
And we're not just speaking into the void. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so if you guys want to talk to us more, if you have any show ideas or if you have any questions for us, you know, like what we haven't done in a little bit is an AMA, an ask me anything. So if you guys, maybe we'll do that for the next couple of weeks, not shows for the next couple of weeks, but we'll remind people for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so we get some
if
ideas.
You have any questions for us about our relationship or about our perspective, or we've even done relationship advice before, which always
so
makes you
a little scary,
always makes you laugh. But yeah, if you guys have anything like that, please go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. It'll send us an email. Also, you can find us on online. You can find on Twitter, we're at Join Nerd Party. On Facebook and Instagram, it's just The Nerd Party. And I'm also personally on Twitter at The Insane Robin.
Yeah.
So how about let's get into it. Let's talk about Love, Death, and Robots first.
Okay, yeah. So... if you haven't watched this,
we're not going to spoil anything.
I was going to say, like, they're all short. It's not like this is a thing that's like, you know, these secrets in mm-hmm. them or anything like that. It's more, if you watch the trailer, you probably should watch the trailer before you actually watch the show.
Yes.
Because it definitely sets the tone of what it's all about.
This Love, Death, and Robots, like, for the longest time... while seeing the trailer, because like it's high action,
yes.
high violence, a lot of sexuality,
right.
And like fast cutting, crazy right. music. It's just like a sensory overload. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch it, you're just like, what just happened to me?
And I think that definitely represents this whole anthology.
They knew what they were doing.
Exactly.
They absolutely knew what they were doing. And it is definitely not for the faint of heart,
no.
The sensitive, or the... people,
it's a mature rating.
Like people get the vapors very easily. Like it's rough. And for the longest time, when I saw that, I was just like, "Oh, this might just be for me. I don't know if the girl would like this." You know,
well,
like.
But I love Fincher so much, so I felt like I wanted to at least see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of it being so short was really appealing. I mean, maybe it's just a sign of the times and our type of culture where we're like shorter is better sometimes. Sometimes I just really like those, like, okay, these little tiny stories, and you can just be like, okay, I'm gonna watch like three of these. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then move on with my night. Like, it's nice to have a show like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, it was created by Tim Miller, who directed the first Deadpool.
Yes, it was.
So
it was.
It was pretty on brand.
Right,
pretty
right,
on brand
absolutely.
For him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know where to start with this, honestly.
So, like,
there's so many different ones. So, there's 18 different stories.
18 different stories right? of varying, like, some. One was, like, 6 minutes long.
Right.
One was 18 minutes long. So, I think they're between 6 and 18
right.
minutes.
Right. And different animation, a lot of animation.
Different animation styles.
Yes.
Like, that was something that's what really intrigued me,
mm-hmm.
is that some was really good CGI, some was looked like a comic book CGI.
Right. Anime.
Some was anime. Yeah, we got some anime in there. We got some stuff that kind of looked like the Avatar the Last Airbender animation style,
mm-hmm.
Like maybe a CGI Archer kind of style.
Right.
And we got one live action that was mixed in with some CGI.
Right.
But it was all over the place, and it kind of reminded me of...
Don't you say it.
Okay. Or what do you think I'm going to say?
Waking Life.
That's not at all what I was going to say. No.
Okay.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
I thought it reminded me of Waking Life a lot. Like, The different styles of animation, yes, for sure, because it felt that way. And it felt like if you just kept like it playing, mm-hmm, it felt that way. Obviously, Waking Life has a common thread, whereas this one, I mean, this one kind of has a common thread of love, death, and robots. Like, you're going to get one of those. But it kind of reminded me of Waking Life, and it kind of like the whole time I was like, I want to go back to that.
We haven't watched that in a long time.
Seriously.
A long time.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Mine was actually going to be even better and more apt than yours. Really? Yeah. No, there was when Matrix Reloaded came out.
Oh.
There was a thing called The Animatrix. Do you remember that?
I do.
And it was a collection of short stories. I can't remember how many. Not 18. It was something like 6.
Yeah.
And it was all different animation styles done by different directors and writers. But it was all, the common thread was the Matrix. It was all Matrix stories.
Right.
And some was like full-blown CGI, like a video game. Others was anime. Others, mm-hmm, was just different types of 2D animation. And it was very much the same kind of concept. And like some of them were really rough too.
Okay. Okay.
Really rough.
Well, let's talk about that, how rough they were. I mean, okay, so, I mean, they were very violent. Very violent.
There was the one that got to me the most was there was like a two werewolves who were fighting each other.
It was intense.
Oh, it was just so gruesome. You have a thing about bones? Oh, anything to do with bones.
Anything, like, it's so funny because you can watch pretty much anything, but if it, like, messes with bones, you're out.
If I see bone, I'm like, nope, nope. Like, if I see a skeleton, that's fine. If I see bone on a living person,
yeah, you're out.
I am watching through my fingers. But no, like there was a really graphic werewolf fight, mm-hmm, and for some reason that's what tipped me over.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. There was the very first one was really rough with violence.
That didn't really bother me too much because it was said werewolves, but
they were like
big
monsters stuff,
that didn't really look like anything. Like they were reptiles and lizards or like whatever.
Whatever they were.
But then actually, no, the violence towards the end though was towards an individual.
Right, exactly.
So there was that too. Like you would see stuff like you'd see people like get decapitated, their head smashed.
Yeah.
It was,
and I think
it,
you know, maybe depending on the violence, sometimes I think you might be a little bit desensitized because if it is animated in a certain style, then you're like, oh, well, it's animated, so you don't think of it as much as violence. Whereas, like, the CGI one was with the werewolves, like, kind of stuck to you more because it felt more real. Right.
There was speaking of the CGI, like the more realistic looking ones,
mm-hmm,
there was a few, one in particular, where I was like, there was like, if you freeze framed on a few of them, you could have sworn it was real.
The Lucky 13
Yes, that's the one.
The CGI in that was phenomenal.
That's some of the best I've ever seen.
Seriously. I was like, there were certain times when my eyes kept playing tricks on me. I was like, wait.
When,
is that a person?
When
or
she
is it
was
not?
In the cockpit.
Yes.
I was like, was her character's name in Orange of the New Black? Poussé.
Oh, yeah.
Like Poussé, I think is how you pronounce it. But yeah, she was she was the lead in it. And she did a great job.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites too.
Okay.
And I was, ooh, you give me a good dog fight.
Right.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
I mean, I was born the year the Top Gun came out. So there's
it
that,
was good.
That
it was
means
a good
something.
One.
But yeah, there were so many times when you're just, because like there was a lot of them that were good, but it was like still a little video gamey,
mm-hmm,
you know, but yeah. Lucky 13.
That one was phenomenal. Yeah.
Good CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. The first, I would say half of the episodes, like if you go in order,
mm-hmm,
which you don't need to go in order.
No, there's no reason to.
We did. I felt like the objectification of women was very strong. And I understand that a lot of it has to do with the style of animation. Or I understand that. But there were certain times when I just felt like women were treated as, for sure, objects, if not like just pieces of meat. And
yeah.
It was, I'm not going to lie, like the very first night we watched, that's pretty much all I saw. And I was sticking it out for the second night, and I'm really glad I did. Because the second night was a lot more, it was almost like they were trying to redeem themselves from like the objectification of women by like putting some strong females the latter half of the episodes, because the first half of the episodes, women were either running away from crap. I mean, other than maybe the first one.
I was going to the first one.
But the other ones, it was a lot of, it was a lot of like, women are there for sex. Or we're going to run after women and try to
murder them.
And it was just, it was hard to watch as a woman.
It was, that did not go unnoticed by me.
I know it didn't.
There was an like the
witness one,
the third
really,
one, yeah.
Yeah, that one I really did not like. It made me feel uncomfortable.
The witness was the most overly sexual, where as it was going on, like she goes into like this BDSM nightclub, right. And then she does this dance for no one.
Well, no, I think she was nude. I think what my understanding was, like, she was like being videoed, and then like it was being streamed.
Oh, she was
and
a cam
so the
girl.
Guy was like seeing her at the same time.
Oh, okay. And
that's
then,
my understanding.
And like we're not ruining anything, because like it was like at the beginning and it's cyclical, whatever. Like she was naked and beaten and murdered.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
and then you see her like running for her life, and it's just, it was very, it felt wrong.
It did.
It felt wrong.
That one was probably the worst one,
yeah.
in that kind of realm.
Yeah.
And then there was like...
And predictable, in my opinion.
Very like, so, the twist was just like they, yeah. they made it seem like the twist was supposed to be like, oh my God, it was that the whole time?
It was like really... No, like, I saw it coming a mile away. I will say, so like, yeah. And then when we got to the latter half, we had some like female-driven ones or like... I mean, but there was still some laced in there where it was like, there was, you know, I mean.
Like in the last one, there was a female, like you see the aftermath of a female sacrifice in an occult.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very graphic.
It was.
And it was unnecessary. Yeah. And like, right away.
Again, a piece of meat.
It was, yeah, yeah.
Literally, yeah. And so, you know, or it's just like there was a lot, I mean, did they show the male genitalia as much as the female genitalia? A lot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't put in the same perspective. So it was one of those things where it felt wrong in some places. But I will say, as a positive note for all of them, as short stories, I was very impressed with the structure of each and every single one of the episodes, because I felt like they spent just enough time to tell their story and then mm-hmm. get in and then get out.
Yeah.
Like it, none of them really felt overworked. Like, okay, we're in this place way too long, or we're explaining this too much.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe the last one was the only one that made me feel that way a little bit.
Yeah. The last
the very last one was, which is like some Russian soldiers. That one made me felt like a little long. But all the rest of them, it felt very like succinct, like good storytelling.
It was, yeah, for me, there was this one was because there's 18 and 18 different stories mm-hmm. and 18 different animation styles yeah. and everything like that. Like, it's going to be hit and miss.
Yeah,
it's
going to,
it's going to be hit and miss. And for me, it was kind of half and half.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm not saying like, oh my God, Love, Death, and Robots was amazing. I can't wait. Like you have to watch it right now. I'm just like, no, you should watch it, because there's a lot of great stories, but there's also some really bad ones in there too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there was a few that really stuck out, like one guy in a junkyard.
Yeah,
there were like six different ways that Hitler died.
Yeah, that was stupid too.
It was just moronic. Like yeah. there was yeah.
But I think overall, I appreciated what they were trying to do.
Absolutely.
And I would love to see more of this type of thing. Like, more opportunities for me to see different animation styles. More opportunities for me to see different actors or voice actors mm-hmm. and different stories. Like, it's just the idea of being able to be like, I'm going to watch this story. And basically enjoying a short cinematic adventure was really fun. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch. What was your favorite one?
Maybe
least favorite one, too.
Can you guess which one my favorite one is?
Was it the Topher Grace one?
No. That was actually going to be my guess for your favorite one.
It was my favorite.
I know you so well. I know you so well. There was one that we're calling it the Topher Grace one.
It's
called
Grace
Ice Age.
Yes.
And it's a really, really cute story.
It's adorable.
It's adorable. And it also has, what is her name?
She looks like one of our friends.
She was in she's Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
That's right.
I can never remember her name.
I have a friend who was a roommate who looks exactly like her. Always what I think of when
like,
I first see her.
Creepy. It's creepy how close she like she was in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. She was Ramona Flowers.
I love her. Yeah.
She's great. She's so great. I just can't remember her name. But yeah, like that was the live action one where like in the fridge. The only live action one, but the CGI was in their fridge.
Right.
They just moved in. They had a really old fridge. They open it up and they see a dead microscopic woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
But they take it in kind. They're just kind of like, that's weird.
Yeah. And they just kind of accept the fact that this whole thing is happening in their fridge, and it was just so adorable. Like, I just loved it. It was cute, like, quick.
A civilization was rising in their freezer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, overnight, it went from the Bronze Age to an advanced civilization.
Yeah, like, more advanced than ours. So, it was just, it was fantastic. I loved it.
It was hilarious.
It was so cute. Yeah. Your favorite one. Oh, I'm going to have a hard time.
If it's not that, I'm not, even though Lucky 13 was amazing.
I was
going to
say, that was one of my favorites.
Because we talked about it, I'm not going to say that's my favorite one, because I had it down to two.
Oh, really?
And Lucky 13 was one of them, but what was the other one, can you think? Because it's, I mean, there were some really great stories, and there was a lot of fun. Like, Three Robots was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I liked that Three Robot.
But you got to give an answer now. And you don't have to talk about the title, like, which one?
Oh, I'm struggling. I was going to guess Lucky 13, so I'm going to let you tell me what it is.
If it wasn't Lucky 13, it would be Zima Blue.
Oh, that one was really good. Yeah, it's about an artist.
It's about an artist, and that's and like as I was watching it,
yeah,
I was just like, oh, this of course this is my favorite one because it's pretentious.
It was so pretentious.
It takes place in the future. And yeah, it's about an artist who makes these gigantic murals, like like as big as a building. Then he goes into the stratosphere.
Also, the style is very unique and very like
It's something I would buy.
Yes, modern.
It's very modern and everything like that. And the guy is a mystery who wears a cape.
Yes,
and I'm just like, damn it, this is my favorite one.
No, that was a good one. Absolutely. That one stuck out in my head.
That one was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But to me, it was the type that I felt like, even though it was my favorite one, it felt like the most rushed.
Yeah, it did.
And I feel like it could have been double the length.
And then would it have been a special?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah,
but
interesting.
It was filled with I think the reason why it's my favorite, and I don't want to spoil anything for you, the reason why it was my favorite is because it was filled with so many great concepts, so many sci-fi concepts. Concepts that I really enjoy. Like, you had some little Dr. Manhattan mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
You had some robotics mixed in. You had evolution of robotics.
Right.
You had art. Right. You had modern art. You had murals.
They had a lot of this where, like, they had adaptations. Like, right, what did Nick, is that what they called them? Where, like, they'd put parts of, like, robots on them. Like,
I wouldn't call it adaptations.
It
would be augmentation.
Augmentation. Augmentations where they would have like robotic. That was
cybernetics.
Kind of,
throughout
all of them.
Yes, there
was
a lot
of that, which was really interesting to think about. Like, I mean, some of them were really disturbing, but other ones were like, oh, that'd be. Think about how much of that will become true, right? Of like the reality of. You know, we already have some of that, but some of this is more like, yeah, I want that because that'll help me be more efficient or more faster or, you know, whatever it is.
I can't wait.
That's why you like Zima Blue, because you probably would do that as much as you could.
Probably. Oh, my gosh. I just bring it on.
But I really think it's fascinating that we both chose probably the least sexual of the series.
And honestly, like, it was the least violent too.
And the least violent.
Let me say, I shouldn't say least violent, but the least gruesome. Because it was war violence, but it wasn't like up in your face. There was no blood or anything like that. Like, people were shot from a distance or like it was dogfighting in planes. Yeah, it's true. Like, ours was
like
the least violent.
Our favorite ones had to do with.
Oh, in Zima Blue, there was no violence.
There was no violence.
Oh, and in Ice Age, there was no violence
there was
either.
No violence. And so we really just. Likes the cute stories, clearly. But I like I said, Three Robots, I liked. That one made me laugh. The Zima Blue, I liked a lot.
There was
Lucky 13 was good. It was the dogfight one.
There was one that I... there was one I wanted to like more than it was. The concept was better than the execution and the quality of the writing. It was the one where I was just like, oh God, this was written by a man.
The concept. Yeah. Concept was interesting.
It was called Beyond the Aquila Rift.
Yes.
This one had really great CGI, and it was kind of like mixed with like Avatar and Aliens, and it was very James Cameron is what I'm going for. It was very James Cameron. Mm-hmm. Like the story is they go like they're in a ship and they go to sleep, and but they're light years off course.
Right.
And they're like 100 years went by on Earth, but only like a couple of months. So
very
for them.
Alien-esque, yeah.
Very alien-esque, and they wake up and he sees a familiar face. They have raunchy sex, raunchy CGI sex.
Oh, and the woman is like saying all the right things.
The woman is is saying like,
I mean, textbook what you would think a man would want,
but not like just a man, but like a teenage boy would write.
It's so true.
Teenage boy would just be like, yeah, that's hot.
Exactly.
That's hot, mom. More Hot Pockets. No, that's hot. That's hot, mom. That's the kind of writing it had.
It's true.
But the concept was great.
No, the concept was fascinating, and I wanted to like it more. But like the writing alone was like, oh, eye rolling constantly. Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we liked it.
I think my least.
Did we like it? I think we liked it.
I think we liked it overall. No, we liked the idea of it overall.
Yes, I liked the idea of it. I liked the animation, seeing different stories. We liked the cute ones, clearly, or
non-violent
or pretentious ones.
Or pretentious
over,
ones.
Over the violent and, but yeah, I think it was interesting to watch for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you guys should check it. Like, as the girl said, watch the trailer first to see if it's your kind of thing.
Yeah,
because
if it's not your thing, then
it's
don't
violent.
Watch it.
It's violent. Yeah. And also, like, there was one time, like, in the first episode, like, two people started going at it, I don't know why I phrased it that way. They were starting to have sex, and I hit the fast forward button real quick. I was just like, oh, this is going to be annoying. And I hit it, and then something monumental happened in between. I was like, God dang it.
I think you did that in the alien-esque one, too. And you're like, dang it, I miss it. We keep missing.
I was like, I can't fast forward it.
Key plot points. Well, when you only have like 10 minutes to tell the story,
I know, it's true.
Important things are going to happen.
During the sex scenes, apparently.
Apparently.
Okay, well, there we go. I don't want to talk about my least favorite ones because
that's fine.
Life's too short, just like these.
So we gave a few episodes. We have not watched all of them.
No, like part two of season five of Arrested Development is out.
Right.
And someone just needs to take it out back and shoot it. It's just...
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
It is
positively terrible.
Not even a shadow. It's like we were looking at each other and we're like, this... isn't Arrested Development.
No.
I mean, we've said that before because we've talked about watching the other seasons that were like, you know, the Netflix version.
Yeah,
right?
season four was the first Netflix one.
But, I mean, it's just this season it seems like they have more of the cast together.
Except for Portia so far.
Right. But it just feels so... It feels so... Why? The whole time I'm just like, why am I watching this?
We're watching it out of loyalty to something that died years ago.
Exactly.
Because even though it has some of the same people involved behind the scenes, most of the same people involved behind the scenes, and like the same actors playing the same characters, while you're watching it, you're just like, these are not the characters I know.
No, they're not.
These are not, this is not the show that I know and love.
Or it almost feels like sometimes when they're like insisting upon themselves, so like, they'll make a joke that we had in the good years, and it's almost like sad. It's like you're pathetic.
Aww. Like when they did the Mr. F joke.
Yeah.
Like somebody said Mr. F, and then you hear the Mr. F, and you're just like, no, sweetie.
No, you're no.
That was years ago,
exactly.
And you missed the boat.
Yeah, or like, I mean, we've only watched a few episodes, but like, or Job starts going sh, and like he did in the first season or whatever it was, and it feels like him pretending.
Yes,
and
he's pretending to be Job.
He's pretending to be Job.
No, like he's
or
acting.
Not even like it's like, oh yeah, this is how they want me to act, so I'm gonna act. It's like everyone's phoning it in.
Like Aaliyah Sackwat, I think that's how you say her name. I never actually remember how to say her name. The woman who plays Maybe.
Yeah.
So far, she's been the only thing that's made me laugh.
Yes, me too.
Definitely. And she's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like I've chuckled a few times in the first episode. I'm saying chuckled, not laughed. Right. Chuckled, where I was just like,
right.
Like I did that three times in a 22 minute episode.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting to watch. And it's just, it's, you look at the writing, because that was the best thing about yes. the first three seasons was the writing. Mm-hmm. It was so intricate and it referenced itself. And it, like, a joke would come up in the middle that was referenced two episodes ago, right. and then all of a sudden it would pay off in the next. It was so interwoven and perfect. And then you see this monstrosity, and it's written as if it's not even trying to be funny.
Right.
That's what's really weird about it.
It's
is
like
that
they're going through the motions.
It's like they're like, oh, we got to get this plot point in. We got to get this character from this place to this place. What's the least funny way we can do that? Oh, we'll just explain it via narration.
Right. And I think the thing about Arrested Development in the first three seasons is you could say, oh, yeah, remember the one about the banana stand? Or
I think that reference might be a little too
vague. Well, that's true. That's probably a really bad example.
Or like the one where the banana stand burned down.
That's right. That's what I meant, actually.
Yeah.
But you kind of got
it. I kind of did get it.
Okay, so maybe I am working here. All right. But hey, remember the one where Rita and...
For British Eyes Only.
For British Eyes Only. You know, like, so you remember them, and because they're not so convoluted, whereas I feel like the plot points here are just, like, so messy.
So all over the place.
And it's like the characters are trying to make sense of it. And, like, for the audience's sake, it's like, okay, well, remember, this person's here, and this person lost this, and this person's been in jail, and it's like, too much.
And also, the thing is, though, is that when, like, there's always been a lot of exposition in Arrested Development.
I know.
Okay. I'm not criticizing you whatsoever. I'm agreeing with you. Like, there's always been a lot of exposition in Arrested Development, but it was much tighter at the beginning, and it was just like, here's what happened last week, kind of, there you go, now you can enjoy. Like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, now enjoy.
Right.
But what's different is like they never did a previous, like, oh, that's not true. But like they most of the time they interwove it into the story at the beginning. But it was also a show that was week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to, and that was one big problem that they had is that like audiences would get lost because
why it failed.
And that's why it failed is because there was a lot going on, but it was coherent if you kept up with it.
Right.
With this show, since it went on Netflix, they're dropping the entire season all at once. People are binging this. You don't need to do mountains of exposition every single episode like right. you did in the early 2000s.
It's like they forgot.
Yeah.
They forgot their format now.
Well, no. I think what they're doing is they're too beholden to it. They're too beholden.
That's what I mean is like now they forgot that they're yes. now on a streaming service.
Yes, I see what you, I so, misunderstood what you
yeah,
meant.
Yeah, so now you don't have to do all that.
You don't have to do that all that. Mm-hmm. And it's just not even a shade of what it once was.
No, it's not.
And it's just like, I read a Guardian article on it and you could tell that the writer was a fan because he's like, it's sad that we have to mourn this show twice.
Yeah, it's so true.
But it's like it was resurrected. Everybody wanted it to be resurrected, but then it came and then everybody wished that it never was.
Exactly.
And that's where we're at.
That's so sad.
It's really sad.
Yeah. But we did watch something good.
We did. We watched something that was way more entertaining than I expected it to be.
So we watched Triple Frontier with Ben Affleck. And
Oscar Isaac, you can never remember his name.
I never remember his name. I don't know why. I just say Poe. And his name in this was
Pope.
And I was like, halfway through the movie, I was like, Tristan, is his name Poe again?
Because there were so many times that they would say like, Poe, get over here. And yeah. It was like, wait, did he say Pope or Poe? It's like, is it in his contract that he needs to be Poe?
Seriously, in every movie, Oscar Isaac is Poe. yeah, but there was also Charlie Hunnam,
was in Sons of Anarchy show.
Okay.
On FX.
Yeah.
He was also mm-hmm. latest in the Robin Hood movie with Jude Law, which okay. my mom loved.
Okay.
I think she just likes him.
Okay.
And my sister really likes him too. Okay. He's very pretty to look at. He's okay. He's very well built, but I just he does this thing where he elongates his words, and I'm just. Just talk faster. And then there was also Hedman.
What was his name? Again?
Garrett Hedlund.
Okay, Hedlund.
Who was in Tron Legacy. Like, I know that's him from Tron Legacy.
I didn't put that together. You spaced until this on that? Yeah. I didn't realize
we should watch Tron Legacy tonight.
You just... No.
No, I loved him in Tron Legacy, and I always thought that he was going to be... when I saw him, I was like, he's going to be a star. Like, he's going to be big. And he hasn't been.
No.
It could still happen. But I believe in him. I believe in Garrett Hedlund. And there's also Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
Who made it big in Game of Thrones is going to be in the new Star Wars TV show, live-action Star Wars TV show called The Mandalorian. He's going to be the Mandalorian.
Yeah. So this cast was pretty impressive.
This was a, if I may borrow a phrase from Lee Hutchison, a banger cast.
Love it. Yeah. No, it was fantastic cast. And we had seen previews for this, on Netflix.
Yeah, and the previews were just kind of like,
but
okay.
We were just like, okay, all right, something on Netflix. All right, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
But we started watching it, and we were super impressed. I don't want to give it too much away because I want you to watch it. There was a lot of language, but which Tristan didn't even realize was going on because he's so desensitized.
So desensitized.
But the story was fascinating.
It was gripping.
And it was really interesting to see something that, like, you didn't see coming. Like, there was a lot of times where we were like, wait, when's the action? Like, when's the twist coming?
Well, it was, right? Because,
and
like,
it's,
the
and
story...
it's not in a bad way.
No.
But in, like, a... oh, I didn't see that coming way.
For those of you who don't know, the story is about a bunch of ex-military people, and some of them have kind of fallen on hard times.
Mm-hmm.
One is still in the military. Is Pope still in the military? Or he's?
I think he's like under... like
actually,
no,
I think they're all ex-military.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so.
I think he was just working as an advisor, but they're all ex-military. And Oscar Isaac, he wants to take out this drug lord in Brazil.
Right.
He's like, here's the thing. We can take out this drug lord in Brazil, and we can steal all his cash.
Right.
And we just got to figure out a way to get out of Brazil. And he's like, I need a team. And it was one of those. It was.
It's like a heist movie.
It's a heist movie in the way. And it's also a coming out of retirement for one last job.
Yeah.
Like, it's a trope, but it works.
It totally works.
And so that's the story. And so, like, these guys go and do it, and it's all about them trying to get out of the country. We're not spoiling anything.
Preview.
This is in the trailer. And so when you see it, you're just like, oh, well, things are going to go horribly wrong.
Right.
But as you're watching it, you're just like, wait, when is it going to go horribly wrong? Because you're just like, it should have happened now. Like, movie mechanics should have told us that it should have happened here, not here.
Exactly.
And that's really cool as a moviegoer to kind of have your expectations subverted a little bit in a good way, not a director saying, screw you, I'm not going to give
you
what you
want. Exactly.
Like some other directors we could mention. But the writing was great.
Yeah.
And I felt like the guys really sold the chemistry.
Yes.
Of that, you felt like they were old war buddies.
Yeah, you did. And what was really interesting to me is, like, there was a point where you just see them kind of like stalking, and you only hear their audio of them talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is really good. There was like a moment there where I was like, I am really engaged in all of these characters, and I don't see any of their faces.
Yep.
And I know who's who, and I know their personalities, and we're only 15 minutes in, and I'm just super impressed with how into this I am. And like you said, the chemistry between all of the people, like, in this crew of ex-military was just, it was really good.
I love those movies where you don't expect a lot from them, and as you're watching it, you're just like, wait, holy crap, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You kind of basically, you kind of so sit up in your seat a little bit, and you're like, this is good. This is going to be entertaining. I had that same sensation with Game Night.
You keep talking about Game Night.
Shut up. I'm never going to stop talking about Game Night. But no, with Game Night, I was just like, it was a free rental, didn't cost us anything. And it was kind of like, okay, whatever, it's going to be middle-of-the-road comedy. And then I'm just like, oh, wow, this is really funny. That's how it was with Triple Frontier.
And that was your favorite movie of 2018.
Yes, it was.
No, this was really good. So I don't want to, we're not going to give anything away that wasn't in the trailer.
Do not look at it as a pure action film, because
no.
It's a movie that takes its time.
In a good way.
In a good way. And there is action in it, and there's some really great action, some really gripping moments, but it is not all throughout.
No.
And it shouldn't be.
And, you know, to be honest, I was afraid of it being all like I when I saw the trailer, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna be my type of movie mm-hmm. because it looks like too much action, right? And I'm not really a huge like war movie, and that's why I kind of thought it was like, oh, it kind of looks like war movie ish, and I'm not a huge fan of those. But this one was so much more character driven,
very character driven.
It was like I thought pretty good writing, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so give it a shot.
The director is J.C. Chandor. I think that's how you pronounce it. And he was the only other stuff that I've seen of his was Margin Call, which was about it was about Wall Street trading and right before the financial collapse in 2008.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really dig it that much. He also did All Is Lost with Robert Redford, and also A Most Violent Year. He was a producer on, I think he might have directed it too, I'm not quite sure. But A Most Violent Year, which with also had Oscar Isaac again. I haven't seen that one. But I kind of want to see his other works just because I was so impressed
with
how this was directed and how this was put together. He also wrote the screenplay as well with Mark Boal. And Mark Boal has done The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. So this guy knows how to write war action.
Definitely. Yeah, but give it a shot if you haven't watched it. And if you have, let us know what you thought about it. Were you as impressed as we were?
Yeah, like, did it just connect with us and this isn't universally loved?
Right.
Like, I went on Letterboxd just, actually, before we watched it, I went on Letterboxd and it has an average rating of 3.2 out of 5 stars.
Really?
And so that's why I thought, I was just like, oh, this is going to be middle of the road. You know, like, hopefully it'll be entertaining, but I'm sure it's nothing great. But boom, like, I gave it 4 stars.
I would too.
Easy. Yeah. An easy 4 stars. Yeah.
I mean, this was one of those movies where, like, it's just showing you that like Netflix is really pulling out all the stops, because this was super entertaining, super well done, and like it would have been really entertaining to see on the big screen.
It would have been seriously, worth it on the big screen.
Seriously, it would have.
And we do not say that often.
Look at the cast they had. Yeah, it's just crazy.
It also makes me wonder about The Irishman.
Oh,
you know, I'm just like, are we going to see that and think, oh, man, that we should have seen this on the big screen because of all the talent that's in it.
That's really true.
But I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And also thank you for writing in. And yes, please write in more. We love hearing from you guys. Absolutely. We love hearing from you guys so much. And also, if you haven't already, please write us a review on iTunes. And also, we've gotten some notes from some people. If you're not on iTunes, like if you don't have a an iPhone or you don't really use iTunes, I mean, like anybody with a desktop computer can download iTunes, but I mean, not everybody has a desktop anymore. So I mean, just give us a rating wherever you listen to us.
Yeah.
On like whether it's Stitcher or Sprecher or whatever made up words, you know, like that of these things. And if that's the case, like we don't always get all of those. So if you want to send us a screenshot.
Yeah.
Via on social media or via email or something like
that'd be
that.
Awesome.
Like, absolutely. You can do that too, and we'll mention you on the show. So we love you guys, and hopefully you'll enjoy this Netflix weekend as much as we have.
Absolutely.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.